Chapter 16, Order 66. Yes, I'm no one, oath, and I've been known to bide. But the rest of my pack, I have left them behind. And my teeth may be sharp, and I've been raised to kill. But the thought of fresh meat, it is making me ill. So I'm telling you. Ezra couldn't sleep after they returned to the ghost. He didn't remember much of the walk back to the ship. He knew that people had stared, that people had pointed and whispered. He remembered Kanan's arm slung over his shoulder, pulling him closer to the man's warm side. He remembered Hera's lips thinning as she stared straight ahead, her leku stiff and radiating unhappiness. But the realization of how long he had been with the Inquisitors had consumed his mind like a brush fire. The sort that swept across Lothal's great plains and left only black ash in its wake. It choked out any other thoughts that tried to make their way into his head and made him feel separate from his body, like he was watching a holovid. He couldn't remember what he said to excuse himself to the cabin he had been sharing with Zeb on the way here, or what he had said to the Lasat man. He was pretty sure it involved a smile, judging by how his face hurt. But now, with the lights off and Zeb snoring in the bunk below, his smile was gone. In the darkness of the room, he could feel the fear and pain of the carrier's crew slowly sliding into his head and coiling around his chest, an echo of what he had felt just a few hours ago. His body was aching with exhaustion, but his mind wouldn't stop running around in circles, keeping him wide awake and staring at the ceiling. 10 months. Almost a full year. He swallowed, his eyes burning. Sitting up, he rubbed at his face, breathing shakily. Below him, he heard Zeb shifting in his sleep, letting out a little grunting snore. The chronometer glowed in the darkness, showing that it was only an hour and a half until the Phoenix Nest started its wake cycle. Swinging his legs over the side of the bunk, Ezra let himself fall soundlessly to the floor. There was no point in trying to sleep anymore. Other people's thoughts, what he'd realized, there was no way he'd be able to get back to sleep. Besides, he didn't doubt that the commander would be here bright and early with whatever bunch of thugs that were going to be his guards, and he wasn't going to... Well, Ezra wasn't sure what he expected them to do, other than guard him. Mostly, he just didn't want to be caught in bed by them. Being caught sleeping was never a good thing in his experience, even though he wasn't sleeping right now. Ugh, he was overthinking this. Stepping out into the silent corridor, the door hissed shut behind him. The ghost was silent, with not even Chopper's quiet grumbling breaking the silence like it had on the way here. There wasn't even the background hum of the ship's engines, due to them being in Phoenix Nest's docking bay. Ezra swallowed. This sort of silence, with the slimy itch of fear and pain scratching in the base of his skull, it reminded him of... Turning on his heel, he padded down towards the hatch that led to the cargo bay. Even this early, there was bound to be some noise outside. Some droid beeping to itself as it finished scanning something, or a resistance soldier coming off of their shift. He could sit on the ramp and just watch things go by. See Commander Sato and his people coming. The metal on the ramp was cold on his bare feet. Colder than he expected. It seeped through the thin material of the medbay pajamas he was still wearing when he sat down as well, making him shiver and draw his knees up against his chest. But it did help. The low hum of the carrier's engines, more felt than heard, chased away the memories that had risen up so suddenly in the hallway. Wrapping his arms around his legs, he settled his chin into the small cup the gap between his knees made, and tried to focus on something other than the choking emotions that swirled around him. The bay was dimly lit, with the occasional pool of light making big circles on the floor. Ezra didn't know much about ships and that sort of thing, but he figured it was like how Hera had turned the heat and lights low while all of them were sleeping. She had said something about saving power, he remembered. A door hissed open somewhere in the gloom. Ezra couldn't help but stiffen at the sound. The chrono in the cabin had said he still had a while, but maybe Commander Sato was one of those guys that preferred to get up before everyone else, or he wanted to catch them unawares. Someone yawned. And then, trudging out from behind a long, low fighter, came a thickly muscled figure in battered red and white armor. He was holding two cups of something steaming, barely hiding a yawn in the crook of his elbow when he noticed Ezra and stopped.
"Oh, good," he said.
Ezra swallowed and curled his toes. This guy was familiar. Where had they met? Then the man turned completely, and Ezra saw the scar, making memories come flooding back. Gray. The old clone smiled, making the scar warp and the corners of his eyes crinkle. Walking over to him, his boots made a clomping sound that echoed in the silence of the landing bay.
Nice to see that you remember me. What are you doing up this late anyways? I would have thought that you'd be sleeping again after...
He stopped mid-sentence, mortification flashing across his face. Ezra pulled the corners of his lips up. It's okay, he said, even though it wasn't, and talking about it made him feel sick. You can say it. Gray cleared his throat and lifted a foot to rub the back of his calf.
I'd rather not.
He glanced up into the cargo bay of the Ghost, his ears a little red.
You just up here by yourself?
Ezra rubbed at his scarred cheek with his palm, looking down at his toes.
Yeah.
He kept his voice low.
Didn't seem right to wake everyone else up just because I was having some trouble sleeping.
That's very kind of you.
Meh. Ezra shrugged and wrapped his arms back around his knees. Well, you know what I'm up about. What about you?
There was a pause.
After a moment, Ezra looked up.
Gray's ears were even redder now, and he wasn't looking at him. With a groan, Ezra flopped his head down and rested his forehead against his knees.
Sorry,
he mumbled, his stomach tightening. He hadn't meant to hurt anyone.
But wasn't that the story of his life ever since he had gotten out of that cell? He hadn't meant to hurt anyone.
But here he was, waking everyone up with nightmares so bad that they couldn't get back to sleep. Maybe this was what he was meant to do, just like he'd been told back with the Inquisitors. Hurt people.
It wasn't like he hadn't shown an aptitude for it back there. Maybe that was the point of everything they'd done to him. Make it so that no matter what, he'd hurt people. That was what the Empire had wanted from him after all.
He was pulled out of his thoughts by Gray, suddenly kneeling down in front of him with a loud grunt.
Hey, listen, kid.
He stopped, his mouth open and half shaped into the next word, and just stared at Ezra, his eyebrows knitting together. Ezra was about to ask what he was looking at, when abruptly he became aware of how his eyes were burning.
Sorry,
he said hastily, roughly scrubbing at his eyes.
He didn't know what he was apologizing for.
No, no,
Gray said. He put one of the cups down and reached out to place a hand on his shoulder. Ezra couldn't help but flinch back, remembering all of the times that the guards and inquisitors had reached out to him like that, and what had followed. The old clone stopped immediately at his flinch, letting his hand fall back down to his knee, where he let it drum.
Sorry, he said, clearing his throat and looking away for a moment. Should have realized. Well, that's a moot point. I just thought...
He hesitated again, looking up into the cargo bay. For a moment, Ezra wasn't sure if he hoped to see someone there, or feared that someone was there. Then he shook his head slightly, like he was banishing a thought, and looked back at Ezra.
Bridger.
He said Ezra's name carefully, the two syllables pronounced like he was shaping a particularly expensive piece of pottery on a wheel.
Would you like to come back to the Cosmere with me? Just for company, I mean.
Ezra relaxed slightly at the hastily tacked-on sentence.
He hadn't thought that Gray would mean anything bad. After all, he had been plenty nice while he and his partner had been hiding him back on the station.
But an old wariness died hard.
Back on Lothal, down in the dark streets where he had worked and lived, it was never a good thing when an adult asked a kid to go somewhere alone with him.
But this was the Resistance, wasn't it?
The Empire hated them. That had to mean something, after all.
And Ezra didn't think that Hera or Kanan would deal with people who would put up with that sort of thing. So he felt comfortable saying,
sure.
Standing up, he brushed himself off, his butt abruptly feeling warm in the bay's air after the coolness of the metal ramp.
Where to?
Grace smiled, the expression softening the harshness of his lined and scarred face. Picking up the cup of coffee he had put down, he turned and began to walk away.
Not far, he said, as Ezra
padded after him.
They wanted us all in one area, so they wouldn't have to chase us down for questioning. He wasn't kidding.
Less than 5 minutes of walking later, they were walking up the ramp of the bright red ship that had the name Kasmiri II slathered along one side in Arbesh.
I'm back. The calf machine had a line up in front of it,
Gray called as they entered the ship's cargo bay.
But you got the calf, right?
Ezra started as the Kalaran that Gray worked with seemed to pop out of nowhere, wiping his hands on a dirty rag.
Yes, yes, Gray said, handing the cup he was holding to the man. Here it is, with plenty of sweetener, just how you like it. Damn straight,
the Kalaran took the cup eagerly.
Damn machine just had to break.
He stopped, his cup halfway to his mouth. Ezra wasn't an expert at reading alien expressions.
Lothal's population had been mainly made up of humans.
But he thought that the man looked surprised as he noticed Ezra standing just a few steps behind Gray.
Turning to look at Gray, the man pointed a green finger from his free hand at Ezra. What's he doing here?
Gray looked at him, fake innocent.
The youngling.
The Kalaran rolled his eyes.
No, the damned ghost that's been haunting our fresher. Of course him.
Gray shrugged. Turning, he took the mug from Ezra and took a sip before answering.
Saw the kid sitting on a ship's ramp. Turned out he was having trouble sleeping too, but didn't want to wake anyone up. So I invited him back for some company.
The Kalaran just stared at him.
Gray. Janice.
There was a moment of silence in which Ezra squirmed. Then the Kalaran, Janice, squeezed his eyes shut and tugged the little frills on his jaw, sighing through his sharp triangular teeth. Opening them back up, he glanced quickly over at Ezra before winding an arm around Gray's shoulders, dragging him a few steps away.
Gray,
he hissed into the old clone's ear, his voice low.
Ezra was pretty sure that if his hearing had been any worse, he wouldn't have been able to hear.
Gray, that's a baby Inquisitor there.
Inquisitor's victim,
Gray said at a normal volume.
And yes, that is him there. Good on you for noticing.
He took another sip of his calf. Janice hissed at him.
Gray!
He bent over to whisper in the man's ear, too low for Ezra to hear.
Ezra shifted from foot to foot as the man whispered, trying not to look hurt. But he kind of was. He knew that the Inquisitors did terrible things. They had done terrible things to him, and he had seen the way Commander Santo had looked at him. But that was just the thing. They had hurt him. Over and over, the Inquisitors had hurt him. Told him that he was going to serve someone called Darth Sidious, that he was going to hurt people and rip their minds apart in his name. Ezra hadn't wanted to do that. He hadn't wanted to hurt anyone. He hadn't even realized that he was projecting his own nightmares onto other people's heads until he'd gotten that vision of the Miri Allen Jedi stabbing him.
But he had hidden with these two.
So why was it that he was still getting those wary looks from Janice? Why was he still so scared of him?
He hadn't been able to tell people what had been done to him, no, but he knew he didn't look like an Inquisitor, and the scar on his face...
A heavy hand clapped down on his shoulder, making him jump. Wrenching himself away, he spun around and saw Gray, holding his hands up. His mug was dangling from his fingertips.
Hey, it's okay, kid. You were just looking a little zoned out there.
Oh, great, he's twitchy, too, Janice grumbled. That's just making me feel so great about having him on board.
Hush, Gray scowled at him. Turning back to Ezra, his eyes softened.
Sorry about that. We've been together for so long that he sometimes forgets not everyone's used to him being an asshole.
Janice snorted.
Anyways,
Gray continued, shooting another glare at the other man.
I was wondering, you ever have hot chocolate before?
Hot chocolate?
Ezra wrinkled his nose.
What in Malachor was that?
The older man chuckled softly.
I'm gonna take that expression as a no, then.
He smiled.
Our calf machine's broken, but we still got a working stove. Want to try some?
Ezra glanced over at the Clarin, who was now leaning against the frame of the doorway leading into the rest of the ship, with his arms crossed, looking sour. Ezra said.
I don't know. I don't want to cause any trouble.
Gray grunted, still smiling.
Ignore Janice, he said.
Turning his head, he added in a louder voice.
He's just a worrywart.
Janice rolled his eyes and straightened. Turning around, he dismissed them both with a wave of his hand.
Fine, ignore my perfectly reasonable concerns. Don't come crying to me when you're down a limbo.
Ezra chewed worriedly on his lower lip and looked up at Gray.
Seriously, I don't want to cause any trouble.
Gray's smile faded, even as his eyes softened. He placed his hand back on Ezra's shoulder, and this time, Ezra didn't flinch away.
Don't mind him, he said. Like I said, he's a worrywart. He'll forget all about this in a few days.
His hand shifted, letting him wrap an arm around Ezra's back.
Now come on, you're gonna love hot chocolate.
A few minutes later, Ezra was sitting at a tiny table in one of the smallest galleys he had ever seen, watching as Gray poured a dark brown liquid into a chipped mug from a saucepan.
Here,
he said, placing the mug in front of Ezra.
Drink up before it gets cold.
Ezra stared down at the liquid.
It wasn't as dark as calf, or even some teas he had seen,
and it was opaque rather than translucent. Picking it up gingerly, he took a sniff.
It smelled okay, if maybe sweet.
Blowing on it, he took a sip.
Oh!
Ezra pulled his head back, his eyes widening.
It's good!
Gray laughed, a surprisingly open expression of amusement on his face.
Janice had the same reaction first time he took a sip.
Really? Ezra struggled to imagine the sour alien expressing approval of anything. Still chuckling, Gray looked at him with a smile.
Really?
Ezra shook his head.
I can't imagine him liking anything.
He ran a hand through his short scruff of hair in amazement.
How do you stand him? He's not that bad.
Gray took a sip of his calf.
Honestly, he's just pissy because we missed a shipment, and that would have paid for repairs for the calf machine. Most of the time, he's actually pretty good company.
Still. Ezra shook his head again and took a gulp of the hot chocolate.
It really was good. Creamy and sweet and warm.
It coated his tongue and throat and chased away a chill he hadn't even realized had settled into his bones.
How did you even start traveling with him? He isn't exactly the most welcoming guy around.
Gray shrugged. Putting his mug down onto the table, he stared into its depths, rubbing a thumb along the handle.
It's a long story. Oh, it's not like there's much else to talk about.
Gray hummed, but the skin around his eyes tightened, deepening his laugh lines.
And not in a way that would make more of them. True, true.
For several moments, though, he didn't speak. The silence drew out, making Ezra squirm in his seat. Had he offended the man?
No, he couldn't have. He would have just been kicked out if that was the case.
Gray hadn't done that. He was just staring at the table, stroking his beard thoughtfully. Just as Ezra was taking another gulp of hot chocolate to keep from blurting something out randomly to stop the silence, Gray spoke again.
Do you remember what I asked you the last time we spoke?
Ezra sputtered a little as some of the hot chocolate went down the wrong pipe. Putting his mug down, he coughed and wiped his mouth.
The last time we spoke,
he thought furiously.
That day had honestly been mostly a blur. After the visions and the confrontation with Kanan and the Mirial and Jedi rooting around in his head, all set to a thudding backdrop of terror that had filled the air of the station like the stench of a hut's fresher, it was hard to pick out individual conversations. Gray had been a nice, temporary respite in that sea of madness. What have they been talking about? It was some sort of order at the end of the war, right?
Ezra said, slow tendrils clawing out of his memories.
Order 86? 69? Order 66.
Ezra pressed his lips together. The way Gray had said that, like it was some sort of execution pronouncement.
This was not going to be a happy story. He just knew it.
Gray leaned back in his seat and rubbed at the scar that went over his eye like it pained him.
It was called Order 66. One of 150 contingency orders that were to be implemented without question by the Grand Army of the Republic in times of great need, ranging from throwing away our comlinks and going dark, to removing the Chancellor of the Republic from office. Nobody thought anything of it. Just one of those possibilities a bunch of eggheads are paid to think of in small dark rooms.
He took a shaky breath.
Order 66 was specifically made in case of the Jedi betraying or trying to overthrow the Republic.
Ezra frowned.
I think I heard something like that. On the Ganda channels, I mean. Some sort of attempt to take over that led to Coruscant falling?
He stopped at the look on Gray's face. His beard hid it well, but Ezra could see how his lips were pressed together so tightly that they had gone white.
"It's a little more complicated than that,"
the older man said finally, his voice so tense that you could probably use it to string a musical instrument. He put his cup down carefully, like he was afraid it would explode.
"Oh, I figured,"
Ezra found himself babbling.
"I mean, they're called Ganda channels for a reason. Propaganda, you know? All about how awesome the Empire is, and how things will get better just as soon as the Resistance is finally crushed, and how everything the Committee decrees is just for our safety."
Gray raised a hand wearily, and Ezra snapped his mouth shut.
"Don't worry, kid. I know what you're talking about."
He sighed and rubbed his scar again. Dropping his hand back down to the table and curling it around his mug again, he shot Ezra a speculative look.
"How much do you know about the Republic before the Empire?"
Ezra shrugged and doodled a little pattern on the tabletop.
"Just what the Ganda channels say, and everyone knows they're full of poodoo." "Can't argue with that."
His thumb was rubbing the handle of his mug again, back and forth. The way the color had flaked off, Ezra was pretty sure this was not the first time he'd shown that particular nervous tic.
"Should start at the beginning, then."
He stared down at his calf.
"Us clones. That's where it started. We were ordered, you know? Not like commands. Ordered like a pair of shoes. Supposedly by Jedi Master Sifo-Dyas."
Ezra frowned, struggling to remember the few lessons he had got in school before he had been forced to live on the streets.
"I think I heard about that. The teachers at school held it up as proof of the Order's corruption or something."
Gray snorted.
"Corruption. The Jedi Order wasn't corrupt, kid. Didn't always do the right thing, mind, but it wasn't malicious. Just misguided. The Republic, though."
His voice dropped to a growl.
"The Republic was rotten to its core."
Ezra didn't know how to answer that, so he just took a sip of his drink.
"We were ordered and paid for to fight in a Star's Damned war that none of us had any stake in, just so that no good Republic citizen would have to dirty their hands with any actual fighting."
Gray's fingers curled around his cup, so tight that his knuckles went white.
"No, just sending the meat clankers to die for them, and never mind giving them any rights or choices."
He cut himself off with a sharp, angry noise. Squeezing his eyes shut, he breathed in and out deeply several times.
"Sorry,"
he said, opening them again after several moments. Looking at Ezra, they softened, looking regretful.
"Just gets my blood up. Didn't understand it during the war. Only really realized how cripped up it all was afterwards."
Ezra realized that he had shrunk back during the rant. Quietly clearing his throat, he leaned back forward, trying to look casual as a reflex.
Never was good to show fear.
"Okay. What's that got to do with Order 66, though?" His voice was steadier than he expected. The tension in the corners of Gray's mouth softened. He wasn't smiling, but he didn't look guilty for intimidating Ezra anymore, either.
"I'm getting to that," he said.
Leaning back, he took another mouthful of calf.
"All right, where was I?"
"The Jedi Master that ordered the clones," Ezra prompted.
"Right. Sifo-Dyas.
Gray looked down into his mug.
We clones were told that that was who had ordered us created. Created to serve the Jedi as their soldiers and right hands. The Kaminoans, they're the cloners who made us. They had us trained how to fight, how the Jedi fought, how it was our duty and pleasure to die for the Jedi if it was needed.
He broke off and rubbed his scar yet again.
Sorry, he said gruffly. I'm not saying this right. Basically, we had it drilled into our heads from the tank that we were to serve the Jedi and the Republic. So when the war started, hell, most of us were overjoyed. We were finally going to get to meet our Jedi, fight for them, fulfill the purpose for which we had been made.
He paused again, and Ezra noticed, with painful churning of his gut, that his eyes were gleaming with tears.
And it was great,
he said, after a long pause.
For me, for all of us fighting under General Balaba, for all of us at our Jedi's side, it was everything the simulations had promised. We all thought, the Jedi included, that we were making the galaxy safer. That we brought justice wherever we went.
He paused again.
The Jedi cared about us. They knew our names, fought by our sides, and not back safe in headquarters like some Republic officers. When we died, they mourned. Even as the rest of the Republic went on drinking or partying or carking each other. The politicians on Coruscant only saw meat clinkers. Ones that they could just order more of. But Mr. Balaba, the Jedi, they'd give their lives if it meant that more of us clones would survive.
He reached up and wiped at his eyes.
Master Balaba nearly did. General Grievous.
He glanced up at Ezra. Ezra nodded. He had heard that name before.
We got ambushed by him on Haram Kal. General Balaba fought him to give a few of us survived the first strike a chance to get out of there. Nearly died in the process. Spent 6 months in a bank tank in a coma.
He stopped for a moment, sucking in a deep breath. Ezra watched, rapt with fascination. He had never learned any of this before. The propaganda channels barely spoke of the Jedi, in fact, and the clones were only known as the Republic's dogs or enforcers. Hearing this from someone who had worked with the Jedi before, fought in the Clone Wars, it was a whole new level of fascination that had Ezra hanging onto his every word.
It was after she got out of her coma that she took a Padawan. Caleb Doom. Short little thing. Big blue-green eyes and a mouth that just wouldn't stop asking questions about everything in the galaxy.
Gray smiled, a small, trembling expression.
You might know him better as Kanan Jarrus.
For a moment, what Gray had said didn't sink in.
Then Ezra leaned back as it smacked him in the face. Kanan's your Jedi?
He gasped, unable to believe it.
But on second thought, of course it was Kanan. Why else would the two of them seem to have a history? Why else would they both feel like that strange mix of grief and guilt when they'd seen each other, when Kanan had been trying to hide Ezra back at the space station? Yeah.
Gray nodded and took a sip.
Damn.
Gray put his mug back down gently.
Cutest kid you'd ever seen. Thought the war was some big game.
His eyes went distant again, seeing something that had happened long ago.
Felt like a game, with him there. We all loved him. He was the little brother we'd never had. Then we got called to the Collar Campaign. Had to free it from Separatist control.
Ezra felt the way Gray's gut dropped, and knew that this was when he was going to get an explanation about Order 66.
Campaign went well, Lots of fighting, but not as many casualties as been projected. Caleb was good for Balaba. Good for the men. Made everyone fight that much harder. Watch each other that much closer. No one wanted to be the one to let a clanker through that would hurt the kid. Took a lot of hard fighting, but eventually we succeeded. Celebrated that night as much as we could. He swallowed. Everything was normal. We teased Caleb, choked with the general, ate dinner. Then I got a transmission on my comm, and it was Darth Sidious. And he told us all to enact Order 66.
His voice quavered, and he gripped his mug with both hands until his knuckles were white.
And that was it. It was like some spell had been cast on us. It didn't matter that we'd fought with General Balaba for years. It didn't matter that we knew how much she loved us, how much she'd sacrificed. It didn't matter how much we all loved Caleb. We put our helmets on and attacked.
He took a shaky breath.
Later, we found out that it was due to a chip that was put into our brains when we were still being grown. At the time, though,
he shook his head.
General Balaba, she must have gotten some warning through the Force. She had her lightsaber out before we squeezed off a single shot. Defended herself and Caleb. I remember Caleb. He had frozen. Like he didn't believe what was going on around him. Took her screaming at him before he finally started fighting back. But it wasn't enough. We were wearing them down.
Something pressed up against Ezra's mind, seeping into his skull. Between blinks, he was seeing it played out like a hollow. A little boy with short, curling hair, smiling up at him, holding fruit and nervously running his hands through his hair. "It's nice to meet you, Commander Gray. I hope we can be friends." Ezra opened his eyes and saw how Gray's were filled with tears, how he was fighting them back. But he couldn't do anything. It was like he was frozen in his seat, the pictures that Gray's story brought to life marching through his head. Gray let go of his mug and pressed his hands against his face, breathing deeply. When he pulled them away, his eyes were wet but clear.
General Balaba shouted at Caleb to run. Said she'd be right behind him. He did. Then Captain Stiles, my second, he took aim at Caleb. And as the general screamed at him to stop, I blasted her in the back. Kept blasting, even as she fell down and stopped moving. And then we went after the kid. Don't know how the kid managed to escape us. We searched for him for nearly a month, the order pounding in our heads.
His voice broke.
We even joked about how we were going to kill him when we found him.
Rain dripped down Ezra's neck as he vomited, his helmet lying a few feet away from him.
"Stand down! Stand down!"
the words echoed in his head, the little boy now filthy and afraid and running from him.
Ezra snapped back to himself, squeezing his mug until he was afraid that it was going to crack.
Gray's grief and self-loathing rose up like dark water, threatening to drown him.
His own eyes began to burn with tears that mirrored the old clone's.
"That's horrible."
"You're preaching to a convert, kid."
Gray rubbed his face and completely abandoned his drink, cradling his head in his hands.
"It must have been 3 weeks until Amidala's command came through."
"Amidala's command?" Gray didn't look at him, staring down at the table.
A counter order. Made to stop Order 66. Turned the switch off. Gave our minds back to us.
He let out an unamused huff and rubbed at his eye.
12 of my brothers kissed their blasters the first night. 6 more the second. One clone in particular. Stance. He was very close with Caleb. One of the younger ones. He tried to cut the chip out of his head with a vibroblade when we were told about it on Coruscant.
The hot chocolate roiled in Ezra's stomach as he thought about what the vibroblade had probably done to the clone's head. He had seen them used on the enemies of drug lords. He wasn't sure if the nausea that was rising in his stomach was from himself or Gray.
But I'm getting ahead of myself,
Gray said, shaking his head slightly.
We got Amidala's command, and immediately switched from searching for Caleb to kill him to searching for him so we could bring him home. It took another week, but thanks to surveillance drones, we eventually found him. And me.
Ezra jumped and twisted in his seat. Janice was standing in the doorway, his arms crossed and his mug dangling from his fingers. He looked as sour as ever, but underneath that, Ezra could feel concern perking up. Uncrossing his arms, the Calerian casually strolled into the room, raising a brow at Gray.
Any reason you're digging up old memories like this? Thought you weren't fond of reminiscing.
That was definitely concern, Ezra felt. Like a loaf bat, fluttering around and around inside of his head. He shifted uncomfortably in his seat. I only asked him about how he started traveling with you. He cringed mentally at how weak that sounded. Janice's slitted eyes slid over to look at him.
Oh, really?
He looked back over at Gray again, before sighing. Reaching out, he gave the man a nudge.
Budge over, then. Kid deserves better than that self-flagellating poodoo.
Looking annoyed, Gray did so. Ezra pulled back slightly as well, letting Janice squeeze his knees underneath the table.
The bigger alien looked slightly ridiculous, squashed in as he was, but Ezra couldn't chuckle at the look on his face. So, he said blandly, I think I heard that you got to the point where Gray and his buddies had found Kanan again, right?
Where we saw him on the security cams,
Gray corrected in a rough voice.
Right. Well, let me tell you what it was like on the other side of the cams, he said, gesturing with his mug. So there I am, just going about my business in Plateau City, when all of a sudden I nearly bowl over a little baby Jedi. The same baby Jedi that was talking poodoo the other day down at the governor's office, and who's also had his face plastered all over the city as a traitor to the Republic or whatever.
He frowned for a moment, his jaw fins twitching.
Transmissions coming out of Coruscant were pretty confused at that time, if I remember correctly. Anyways, so there I am, baby Jedi stinking to high heaven and looking like I hadn't slept in days, and I felt my soft heart melting.
Gray snorted.
Shut up, Janice said, not even looking at him. So the kid's looking all pathetic, and I take pity on him. I had a melu run fruit I was planning to have for dessert that night, but I give it to him instead. My good deed of the day done, I head off. Then the kid chases after me, pegging for a place to sleep just for a night. And again!
He pressed his two-fingered metal hand to his chest dramatically. My poor soft heart betrays me.
I take him back to my ship, let him take a shower, wash his clothes, and bunk down for the night. And of course, about an hour later, I have this guy,
he jerked a thumb at Gray,
pounding on the hatch. So I hide the kid in one of my secret compartments and go outside, planning to cooperate and wait for them to go away.
Janice stretched his feet out in front of him, propping them up on the seat beside Ezra.
Except I forgot about the kid's clothes. I'd hung them up to dry, So when his brothers searched my ship, they found them.
Uh-oh. The words slipped out of Ezra before he could stop them.
Janice paused in the middle of his storytelling and sniggered.
Ezra could feel the tattoo on the back of his neck prickle as the skin it was on heated up.
Yeah, kid. Uh-oh just about sums it up.
Janice grinned widely, showing off sharp, triangular teeth.
Let me tell you, Gray here and his buddy Styles were pretty pissed to see that. Captain Styles in particular. He slammed the butt of his rifle into my face and nearly choked me out, demanding to know where I got those clothes.
And then promptly pointed the barrel at your head when you mouthed off,
Gray added, a sharp flicker of fond irritation nipping at Ezra.
Yep.
Janice looked smug. Putting his cup down, he tucked his hands behind his head.
Ain't I just amazing?
The only reply he got was Gray shaking his head.
Wasn't long after that we finally found Caleb,
he said, taking back over the story.
But unfortunately, he hadn't heard Amidala's command, because he had dropped his comm and we had smashed it while chasing him. No one knew about Amidala's command except you clones,
Janice interrupted.
Gray rolled his eyes, and in that moment, a flash of understanding reached Ezra.
Janice was doing this on purpose. Ever since he had entered the room and started talking, the guilt that had been pouring off of Gray had lessened back into something less suffocating. Anyways, Gray drawled. Like I was saying, Caleb didn't know that we weren't hunting him down anymore. So when my men found him in Jonas's ship, he attacked us. I ended up having to stun him before I hurt anyone else. Except I didn't know it was a stun blast,
Janice interrupted again. He twiddled his fingers behind his head, his own eyes taking on the distant look that Gray's had had earlier.
I thought that they just blasted a little kid's brains all over the inside of my ship.
A small, pale hand, sticking out of a doorway, a lightsaber hilt rolling away from it.
He paused, and his frills twitched and stiffened, sticking out of the sides of his face.
Didn't much care to see that.
Ezra frowned at his words, his gut squirming from the image he had picked up.
What does that mean?
Gray grunted.
Means he called us a bunch of meat clinkers as we handcuffed him and brought him back to base. Well, it's not like you did much to disabuse me of that,
Janice noted, shrugging.
After that, it just got worse for everyone. Kid apparently screamed at Gray and the other clones when he woke up in the base's medbay. I nearly got beat to death in a cell by Gray's buddy Styles.
What? Ezra had been about to take another sip of his hot chocolate when Janice had spoken. He slammed his cup back down onto the table, splashing a little of it. Gray grimaced.
Styles, he was the captain of our legion. You have to understand, no one realized just how badly Order 66 had affected him. General Balaba's last words, her screaming at him to stop. He had mentioned how they were making it hard to sleep, but compared to the rest of my men, he seemed to be the paragon of stability.
He scratched at his beard uncomfortably.
I didn't realize it until I went to check in on how Janice was being processed and found him half dead. Just how off Styles had gotten.
He paused, and his voice got rougher. Janice, lying on the ground, his eyes nearly swollen shut, spitting out a bloody tooth. A clone, his hair buzzed short, standing over him with scraped raw knuckles, the boy screaming, tears rolling down his cheeks.
Caleb saw this. Screamed him to stop as well.
But why? Why would this guy be beating him up?
Ezra asked, clutching his mug.
Had the other clone just been getting off on the power? I mean, you said he was messed up because of his general's last words, but why would he beat up a prisoner?
Janice scratched at his chin casually, despite the tension still in his frill.
"Eh,"
he said, shrugging.
"Apparently, they basically assumed the worst about me giving the kid some shelter. Thought I was going to sell him to a brothel or something."
"It was a legitimate concern,"
Gray said, scowling.
"The Order had already had a case of Trandoshans kidnapping Padawans for some fucked up hunt, and there were reports on some planets of brothels that specialized in Jedi fantasies."
He broke off and glanced over at Ezra, guiltily.
"There. Sorry, kid. I know this is kind of gross."
Ezra shrugged.
"Nothing I haven't heard before." He could name 3 separate brothels that had had an under-the-table kiddie special back on Lothal. 2 of them had catered exclusively to Imperials.
The 2 men across from him glanced at each other as Ezra took a gulp of his drink.
"Anyways,"
Gray said, after Ezra had put his mug back down and licked his lips.
"I made Stiles stop and explain what was going on to Caleb. He wasn't happy. He didn't trust us, because we didn't know about the chips at that point, and refused to fly back with us. So we had to patch Janice up. He agreed in return to fly Caleb back to Coruscant." Janice made a grumbling noise.
Looking over at him, Ezra saw him roll his eyes, and knew that there was more to the story than that.
"So we got back to Coruscant, and it was bad. Really bad."
Gray dragged a finger along the tabletop.
"The Jedi were being accused of a military coup, which was technically true." Gray glared at Janice before turning back to Ezra. "People were protesting in front of the temple. Coruscant was on military lockdown. Us clones weren't even allowed into the temple anymore."
He paused and grimaced.
"Which made sense, but still hurt. We didn't have much time to mull it over, though. Because about 3 days later..."
Gray stopped, his voice breaking, and cleared his throat.
"About 3 days later, the second battle of Coruscant happened."
"Second battle..." Ezra twisted his eyebrows together. "Oh, you mean the final assault."
"Is that what they call it?"
Gray asked.
"Told you getting fallen down drunk every Empire Day was a bad idea."
"Shut up, Janice."
Ezra shook his head.
"That doesn't matter. What happened then?"
He looked between the 2 of them.
"You don't exactly look happy."
"It was true." At the mention of the battle, Ezra had felt a swell of grief and horror emanate from both of them. The 2 of them looked at each other.
"How much do you know about the battle, then?"
Gray asked.
"Just because Janice and me have never really cared to stick around for celebrations, if you know what I mean."
Ezra shrugged, keeping an eye on both of them.
"Only what the Ganda channels said each Empire Day? You know, glorious victory, sacrifice needed to finally exterminate Republican corruption, yada yada yada."
The 2 of them looked at each other again. But this time, it was looks of disgust rather than sadness and guilt.
"Of course,"
Janice grumbled. Gray just shook his head.
"It wouldn't fit the narrative."
Ezra frowned slightly.
"What are you talking about? What wouldn't fit the narrative, whatever?"
"The narrative, kid," Janice said.
"The story the Empire is telling about how they won the war."
He made a disgusted noise.
"I guess openly talking about the Temple Massacre would ruin their whole righteous crusade against tyranny story that they have going."
"Massacre?" Gray drummed his fingers restlessly against the table.
"It happened during the second battle. All the Jedi who could fight were forced to leave the temple to defend the planet."
He shook his head and stopped his drumming.
"Even then, it was a useless gesture. There were barely any Jedi left from Order 66. Even fewer that were able to fight. And the only clones that could be trusted with them were those that had gotten the surgery to take the chip out already. Which almost none of them had,
Janice muttered into his cup.
Hush. Gray turned back to Ezra and dragged a hand down his face.
Anyways, we don't know how, but somehow, a dropship of droids got past the orbital defenses.
He stopped and swallowed.
And they dropped right onto the Jedi Temple.
Ezra listened raptly as Gray went on, his voice cracking.
At first, no one noticed anything wrong. Gar headquarters are far away from the temple, and none of us could barely stand to look at it without breaking down. And then someone...
His voice cracked, and he swiped at his eyes.
Someone saw the smoke. There was no one left in the temple who could fight. Everyone who could was forced up into the defense of the planet. The only people left in there were the old, the injured, and the younglings.
Ezra's stomach dropped to the floor as Gray snapped his mouth shut, his lips trembling. The older man covered his face with both hands, his shoulders shuddering. Beside Ezra, Janice's feet disappeared as the man sat up straight and wrapped an arm around his shoulders.
I'm sorry,
Ezra said quietly, shrinking back in his seat.
I shouldn't have asked. I'll go now if you want.
Hastily, he got up, nearly tripping over his own feet in his hurry.
No. Stay.
Janice's commanding tone made Ezra stop in his tracks, halfway through the door. He looked over his shoulder to see the Calaran still had an arm over Gray's shoulders, bending close to whisper something in the man's ear. Gray shook his head, and Janice sighed, his face fins drooping.
You should hear the rest of this,
he said quietly, turning his head to look at Ezra. Silently, Ezra sat back down.
I was there too during the second battle,
Janice continued, his voice still soft.
I was promised payment for bringing the kid back to his temple, and it hadn't come through yet, so I was just sitting around in the main Gar base.
He paused, and Ezra could see how he was chewing on the inside of his cheek.
I was one of the first to notice the smoke. Certainly the first to do anything about it.
Ezra shifted uncomfortably.
What did you do? Revved up my ship, grabbed as many clones as I could find, and took off towards the temple.
Janice shrugged, his eyes downcast and hand rubbing Gray's shoulder.
The place was lit up like there was a lightning storm going on inside. And if you listened carefully...
He paused and swallowed.
I swear, if you listened carefully, you could hear them screaming inside. I didn't go inside. That was the clone's job. I just waited with the ship, ready to take off.
He looked back down.
Of course, that just meant I was there when they started jumping off the building.
Ezra froze, looking down at his drink.
Little bodies, falling through the air like the petals from yolk and fruit flowers in spring.
It no longer was hot enough to warm up his chilled hands.
They jumped?
He forced the question out through numb lips.
They jumped?
A pause, and then...
Yes.
Ezra took a shaky breath.
How? Didn't anyone notice? Didn't anyone else try to help?
Janice let out a low, bitter chuckle.
Like anyone on a Republic world would lift a finger to defend themselves. He sneered. No, they just watched as the kids flung themselves off the temple trying to get away.
His sneer wobbled, and he covered his own face with his metal hand.
Griff, they looked like falling leaves. Smacking right against the cars, the walkways. Or they just kept falling.
His voice broke, and he shook his head.
And everyone just watched,
he said quietly.
Just watched. None of them lifting a finger to help their so-called protectors.
Ezra couldn't move. He just stared at the two of them. Gray, his hands having fallen back to the table and staring blankly ahead, his eyes rimmed with red. Janus, still covering his face, his fins stiff and trembling.
I'm sorry, Ezra finally said.
He hadn't felt so helpless since he was still imprisoned by the Inquisitors.
It's not your fault, Gray replied, his voice barely above a whisper.
You probably weren't even born when it happened.
Ezra almost corrected him, but stopped before the words left his head. The grief swirling around him, winding around his neck, nothing he could say could make that go away. So rather than saying anything, he just looked down at his now cold drink. Outside, people had begun to move around, the sound of heavy boots clumping on the metal decks echoing faintly inside the galley. Ezra figured that that had to mean that the wake cycle on the carrier had started. He mumbled, still staring down at his drink. I should probably go. Janus didn't reply. He just grunted and got up, leaving the galley without saying goodbye. Ezra saw how Gray's eyes followed him before the older man shook his head and sighed wetly. Bracing his hands on the table, he stood up with a groan.
Sorry, kid, he said,
reaching down to Ezra to help him up. His voice was very quiet.
Didn't mean to bring things down like that.
Ezra shook his head, staring down at his shoes.
It's okay. I didn't mean to bring up so many bad memories.
Gray just sighed again.
It's not your fault. I offered to tell you about it anyways.
He summoned a weak smile as they began to move through the ship, back towards the offloading ramp.
Besides, it wasn't so bad. I met Janus, after all.
Ezra tried to smile back.
That's true. Though you never did end up telling me how you two started working together after all of that.
Gray winced and smiled again. This one looked a little more real.
You're right. I'll have to tell you your next visit then.
Next visit. Ezra felt his smile soften into something more real as well.
I like the sound of that.
Gray ruffled his hair.
I'll make sure I have some more hot chocolate ready then,
he joked. Closer to the outside now, Ezra could hear the buzz of someone speaking over the comm system of the ship.
I'm looking forward to it, Ezra replied.
With a smile and a wave, he stepped out of the ship and padded down the ramp. Tugging at his shirt, he turned in the direction that he thought the ghost was in. He barely had the time to notice how the bay was roiling with people running around before a heavy hand slammed down onto his shoulder and forced him to the ground.
What? Stay down!
Ezra stiffened and raised his hands, trying to peek up to see who had grabbed him.
It looked to be some wrinkly-faced alien with horns coming out of his jaw. He was speaking into a comm unit, almost too quick to understand. Then there was a very familiar sound, one that made Ezra freeze. The sound of a blaster being cocked and aimed. "Don't move," came the warning tones of a woman. "Or I swear by the goddess, your brains will be blasted out of your skull, Inquisitor."